God's plan that immediately follows that is the one that we started the service with as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So, I'm going to look at some background into that. And again, I want you to, in your mind, be one of the pilgrims. I want you to be progressing into Jerusalem as our past, our present, our future is all interwoven. So this is their story, but it's our story and it's Jesus' story. Interesting that today, if you think of the day's date, March the 25th, it's 9 months day today to Christmas. 9 months today to Christmas. Isn't that exciting? That's got all you parents and grandparents excited. But the interesting thing about that is if you go 9 months to Christmas, then the church celebrates today as the Annunciation by the Archangel Gabriel to Mary, announcing her pregnancy. And so 9 months later, 25th of December, well, according to our calendar anyway. So today's really important. And in a way, because we're celebrating Palm Sunday, we tend to throw the Annunciation aside for today anyway. But it's interesting coincidence that's happened today. Okay, so I want you to imagine that you are a pilgrim heading to Jerusalem. Now, three times a year, you have to make this pilgrimage as a good Jew. That's your job, to go to Jerusalem, to the temple, and worship in the temple, especially for this festival, which is 4 days away, and that's Passover, the most important one. Now, remember the celebration of Moses and the Exodus and the blood of the Lamb, which is going to save them? And that story is going to be repeated in 4 days' time. So we're going to start this. If you want to follow this, can you turn in your Bible to page 957 to Psalm 118? And we're going to follow a series of psalms really quickly and have a look. I'm going to start at verse 21. You answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And you know who that's talking about. There's some famous verses in here. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvellous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be... And there you are. You've read it from the scriptures this morning. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. And that's what we've done this morning as we've processed. You are my God and I will give thanks to you. You are my God and I will extol you. And then give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. I want to skip Psalm 119 for a moment and take you to Psalm 120, page 965 if you want. And you'll notice that there's a superscription above each of these 15 psalms, songs of ascents. Now, ascent comes from the verb to ascend, which means to go up. And so I want you to, we'll have a very quick flick through these. And so there's lots of possible explanations, but what scholars think is most likely is that these 15 psalms are psalms that the pilgrims used while they're on their way to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is right up high geographically, and so you're constantly climbing to get to Jerusalem. And we're all walking along together like we did when John led us in procession. And some of us are talking away and sharing our stories, and sometimes we're praying together as a whole group, and sometimes it's just me praying. So some of these psalms are group ones, and some of them are individual, but it's interesting to see what's going on. And so here's Jesus, as part probably of hundreds of others, not just Jesus and his disciples, but probably hundreds of others, making their way uphill to Jerusalem for the Passover. We're travelling together. And as you do when you travel, you're talking to the other pilgrims, and there's a lot of noise, and your feet are getting sore, and your feet are getting smelly with all the dust. I want you to be there as this happens. So let's have a quick rip through these and see what's going on here. Let's go to Psalm 120, if you're following it. A prayer for help for the dangers of this pilgrimage. Psalm 121. We lift our eyes to the hills. We're walking along and there's Jerusalem. We can see it way in the distance up there, uphill. We lift our eyes to the hills. Where will our help come from? So we're praying that we won't get sunstroke, and we don't want to get moonstroke, because the moon sort of represents demonic powers and evil, and we don't want that on our pilgrimage. Psalm 122, we're joyfully arriving at Jerusalem. And it's like us on our pilgrimage this morning. Psalm 123, a quiet, wholesome trust sustains the pilgrims. Psalm 124, here's a community psalm. As were it not for the Lord, we wouldn't have survived. And so look the way he's protected us as we walk along together, as we journey. Psalm 125, a psalm of confidence, ideal for the pilgrims with Lord, we trust you to look after us as we on this journey together. Psalm 126, another psalm of confidence, this time for the harvest. Psalm 127 is about the family, praying for the family. 127 and 128, they go together, really. They're both about family. 129 blends lament and thanksgiving. It's to help us overcome disappointment. And there's a liturgical blessing at the end, which actually comes from Ruth, the story of Ruth. Psalm 130 prepares the worshipper to enter the temple through the gate. 131 is about trust and hope in God. But 132 is different. We've arrived, and now we're going to celebrate being David's people. And we're going to celebrate all that David did. So 132 is a bit different in that it's, yippee, we've arrived, we're celebrating together, we're worshipping God together. 133 is this joyful companionship, the people we've met along the way. And then 134, the last of them, is like an evening service, evening prayer, because tomorrow we're journeying away, we're going home. And so we're asking the priest in the temple to bless us as we head out on our journey. The way all our services always end with a blessing, and we go out and into the cup of tea. It's the similar sort of thing as that. Okay, let's join Jesus and the disciples on this pilgrimage, because we know what's coming. But first, let's look at this prophecy. Okay, so 550 years beforehand, Alison's going to read to us this.
This reading's from Zechariah, and it's on verses 9 to 10, and chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, and on page 1480. Oh, sorry. Do you hear that? Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, on page 1480. The coming of Zion's king. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth.
Thanks, Alison. So now we're going to sing that. The great old hymn, Ride On in Majesty. Let's stand and sing this together. Seated. So we're all wandering along together, getting up towards Jerusalem. And there's something going on. It's more than just the usual pilgrimage. There's something extra going on. It's like we've got this feeling that something momentous is about to happen. And when we get to the gates of Jerusalem, people start cutting down branches and that whole story of that. And more than that, people start singing, as we looked at earlier, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." Now, that's Psalm 118, written years before. But there's a prophecy that when the Messiah comes, this is what will be sung as he comes into the city. And this is going on right now. So this must be the Messiah. Could it be the Messiah? Nah, we know where he comes from. He's from Nazareth. We know his brothers and sisters. He can't be the Messiah, can he? And the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the church leaders know this prophecy. And so they go to Jesus and say, "Stop the people from singing this out. That's wrong." And Jesus says, if they stop, the rocks and stones themselves will sing. And all you Jesus Christ superstar rockers from years ago will remember that line, "The rocks and stones themselves will sing." So there's this prophecy that the Messiah will come into the city. The people, of course, they don't want a peaceful Messiah. They want someone who's going to come in on a white horse and conquer the city and get rid of these awful Romans who've been ruining our culture, these Gentiles. They want a conquering king, not someone coming in meekly on a donkey. And so there's all these things going on as we enter. So Jesus, into the city, goes and checks out the temple, has a look around, comes out, back out to Bethany. And then the next day, Monday, tomorrow, he goes into the temple and he cleanses the temple. You know that story. And then Tuesday, he's teaching in the, teaching in the temple. And Luke tells us the great stories of that. We get the stories of parables, of course, the wicked tenants, the wedding banquet, the coin and the taxes, the two commandments about end time, the 10 bridesmaids, the wise and the foolish, and the story of the talents. So that's going on. And then on Wednesday, when he's back there, the anointing at Bethany, when the woman comes in and breaks open the ointment and anoints him and Judas and others say, "Yeah, why is this? What a waste. Could have sold that for the poor." And Jesus says, "No, she's preparing me for burial." Great story there. That's Wednesday. And then Thursday, Passover, the Last Supper, that meal that we celebrate so often. And then to Gethsemane, and Jesus, who knows what's going to happen, and we see the human Jesus, "Lord, take this cup from me. I don't want to die. But if it's what you want, I'll do that." And the betrayal and the false trial with the Sanhedrin overnight. And then taken to Herod. And Herod knows that Jesus is innocent. And for that reason, he beats Jesus up so much that Jesus is going to die quickly. And onto the cross. And into the tomb. And so Saturday comes along, and it's a horrible day. It's an empty day. It's a quiet day. There's a death in the family. We don't know what to do. It's just, we're stunned. But you know where the story goes from there. And that's what you've got to follow during the week. Okay, stay in that sensory mood. What we're going to do is follow the story now in song. Some of them I'm just going to use as poetry. Some we're going to sing. We're going to sing a lot. The old But you hear the music just getting to your emotions. Let that happen. And so here's one of the old trads. Sing my tongue the glorious battle. Sing the last, the dread affray. O'er the cross, the victor's trophy. Sound the high triumphal lay. How the pains of death enduring, earth's redeemer won the day. And then his story, when at length the appointed fullness of the sacred time was come, he was sent, the world's creator, from the Father's heavenly home, and was found in human fashion, offspring of the virgin womb. Appropriate for today, 25th of March, the Annunciation. Now the 30 years of his life are ended, which on earth he willed to see. Willingly he meets his passion, born to set his people free. On the cross the lamb is lifted, Passover lamb. The blood which saved the people of Moses' day saves us. There the sacrifice to be. There the nails and spears he suffers, vinegar and gall and reed, from his sacred body pierced, blood and water both proceed. Precious flood which all creation from the stain of sin hath freed. Faithful cross above all other, one and only noble tree, none in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit thy peer may be. Sweet the wood and sweet the iron, and thy load most sweet is he. And then the doxology, the praise, praise and honour to the Father, praise and honour to the Son, praise and honour to the Spirit, ever three and ever one, one in might, one in glory, while eternal ages run. Which brings us to another version of this, this great old song, My Song is Love Unknown. There's a lot of verses, but it tells that whole complete story. Let's stand and sing this.
Thank you.
Brings us to another song, very much the same. But again, hear the passion in this, O Sacred Head. So this is about Jesus' death and what it means for us. You to follow the story this week. Attend the services, read your Bible, pray, meditate on what Jesus has done for you. And as you leave, reminder about the palm crosses. So I want to bless these now. Lord God, bless these crosses, the hands that made them, that they might be symbols for us of your love. And as we put them in our bedroom or on the mantelpiece, a reminder, especially this week and all year, they may turn brown and look dead, but your love for us will never die. We honour you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We worship you. Amen. So, let's say together this prayer which sums up our journey this week. God of the journey, you travel with us along paths both rough and smooth as we celebrate your Son's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Travel with us into Holy Week that through your Holy Spirit we may witness to the depth of your passion and be ready to rise into the fullness of Easter Day through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you'll be pleased, one last song, and it's probably the greatest hymn ever, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.